hopefully all the technology comes together. I'm down here, he's up there, just to keep that wee distance between the two. We're good friends. It's really just because of the virus that we're separated. We're going to sing tonight our opening hymn, and Phil has chosen the hymns this evening just to tag in with the wee message that he brings. And the opening hymn is 140. Far above all is our Saviour enthroned, crowned is the Lamb who for sinners atoned. And we'll sing with all of our hearts. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Is the kingdom come? Come to rule.
immediately to prayer, it is because the Lord Jesus is Jesus the Crucified that we can come in prayer and seek the Lord tonight on the grounds of the precious blood. So let us pray. Our Father, as we gather again in your house, it's so delightful in our hearts that the congregation is back again in the house of God. We do so through the precious name of the Lord Jesus and upon his merit. We thank thee for the one who is exalted far above all, Jesus the Crucified. We thank thee that he's in glory, he's on the throne of God and of the Lamb. We thank thee that he's there as our mediator and representative. Every day he remembers us, he prays for us. He ever lives, the Bible tells us, to intercede for his people. And Lord, we're glad that we have such a one in the glory who every day is watching over us in tender love and care. And though there are thousands upon thousands of believers in this world, yet we are known personally and intimately by the Lord Jesus Christ, who called us in grace to himself and brought us to stand upon the impregnable rock, even himself, who is the rock of ages. We thank thee for the cleansing of the blood of the Savior. Thank thee for that day when our sins were forgiven and pardoned, when we were brought into a right relationship with God, given a standing with him. We had the power, the authority to be called the sons of God. And Lord, that reminds us that we have been brought into your family, and we can truly address thee as our Father which art in heaven. We thank thee that God is our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in this sense, is our elder brother, as well as our Savior and Redeemer. And Lord, we bow here with thankful hearts, rejoicing in the Lord who has wrought all good things in our behalf. We praise thee afresh that he loved us and gave himself for us. And Lord, we pray that even now you will lead us to Calvary. You will lead us to the place where the blood was shed, poured forth for the remission of our sins. We're glad that we're in Christ. We're glad that the condemnation has been removed, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, your people that are here, we are in Christ Jesus. There was a day when we were out of Christ without a Savior, a day when we wandered in the mountains wild and bare. But then there was that wonderful day that the hymn writer speaks about, day that I will never forget, when we were put into Christ. And that's where we are tonight. We're safe and we are secure. And there's no man can pluck us out of the hand of God or out of the hand of Christ. And we're doubly secure in the hand of the Almighty. We pray for your blessing tonight, as Phil would bring the wee word, that you will anoint him afresh with God the Holy Spirit. As he comes, we believe, with a message from God. Lord, may our hearts be prepared. May we be ready to receive what God has for us in his word. And so bless the reading and bless, Lord, the exposition of it to our hearts, and prepare us even for the little time that will follow as we seek thee at the throne of heavenly grace. We've heard of a lady tonight, unknown to us, but we have heard of her circumstances, just 38, and she's battling with cancer. And Lord, we hear tonight that it's in her liver, and we hear of how she has four little children. And Lord, we want to just pray for this lady. We believe she is a child of God, and Lord, you brought her this dark way into a valley for a reason. We pray that your presence will be with her this evening, that you will surround her, that you will comfort her, and Lord, be pleased to put your hand of healing upon her body. Remember us now for good, Lord, as we continue before thee. In Jesus' name, amen. We take the opportunity to bid you welcome to the midweek service. This is something delightful to see you here. And if I say that for a few weeks, you'll understand why, because we couldn't say it for 3.5 months. But you're here in the house of God, and we're glad about that. And we have those that are listening in. We're continuing broadcasting on a Thursday night as well on Sermon Audio on Facebook. And if you're one of the extended congregation there, listening in, welcome in Jesus' name. Do remember the Lord's Day services over the summer. There are many aspects of the work that go on furlough and they take a break. but not so when it comes to the Lord's Day or Thursday night. So the service is 12, noon and 7. I hope to be here to preach the word. We are thankful for those who were able to send in all the tithes and offerings over the past little while. And just recently through the post, some little gifts have come in, gifts of appreciation that will be going to missionary work, £200, £50 and £40. We pray that the Mission Board Holiday Bible Clubs will be owned of God in the summer, going out at 10 o'clock in the morning from Monday the 20th to the 24th of July, and then the other date in August. I'm going to sing another hymn, 518. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a work the Master just for you has planned. Or from the youngest to the oldest, whatever way you want to put it. And it's good to see some of the youngest that are here. It's always a delightsome thing to see children at any meeting, but when we see children and families coming to worship God on a Thursday night, that really is something in a good sense that thrills our hearts and rejoices our souls. And there's a work for all of us to do in the body of Christ. May the Lord help us to do that work day by day. Now, we are delighted that our clerk of session is going to speak to us this evening, and we're going to loose Phil and let him go. Our brother, Mr. Phil Moffat, may the Lord bless him as he brings the message to our hearts.
Thank you, Mr. Park. When Mr. Park asked me if I would do the prayer meeting, he said, "I'm going to go away for a few days with Susan." Well, I thought he would still be away for those few days, but we're delighted, I suppose, to see you here this evening, brother. Can we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, first book of Corinthians, and chapter 15. Paul here, when he writes to the church at Corinth, he speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it's so important to the New Testament church of the firstborn. From verse 12 through to verse 35, he begins to defend the resurrection, and then, of course, he explains further the resurrection from verse 35 through to verse 50. But then Paul speaks of the victory that the child of God has in death. And we read these words in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that as we now turn aside to thy precious truth, that thou wilt give us help from heaven, that thou wilt come and minister to our hearts and to our souls, and grant that the speaking voice of the Spirit may witness to us even this very night. We might go from this place saying it was good to be here, for here we met the Lord. So Lord, bless us, we pray, keep thy hand upon us, and magnify and glorify thy Son, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. I'm sure you would agree that we live in an ever-changing world. A world where nothing seems to stay just the same. It would appear that the world takes great pride in all the technological advancements and the strides that she appears to make throughout life. Yet it would seem that in her conquest, as she faces every battle, and as she endeavours to win one or two, it seems to take the world further and further and further away from the things of God. As a result, as Christians, we endeavour to raise our children in a society that is primarily anti-God. And if that's not bad enough, we appear at times to be oh so comfortable in this environment. Perhaps far more comfortable than we ought to be. Blending into the society and the environment, which in many ways knows very little about the Lord, the one who we love and the one whom we seek to serve. It would appear that as time presses on and we get nearer and nearer to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, things appear to be getting far worse. Of course, it's all part of God's great master plan. For it's revealed in Scripture that in the latter times these things shall surely come to pass before the Lord returns to gather his loved ones home. In an effort to equip the members of our Bible class, and can I say I'm delighted to see a number of them here this evening, it's Mervyn's joy and my joy on the Lord's Day and even during the period of lockdown to have met with our Bible class week in, week out. What we've endeavoured to do is to share with them some of the qualities, some of the attributes that God longs to see in the life of his people. As we seek to labour for him, those things that in our life brings joy to the heart of our God. Qualities that attract the blessing of God to you and to me. And over the past number of weeks in the month of June, we dealt with a number of subjects, some of which we'll touch on this evening. But we began, you know, away back there in the book of Romans and chapter 12 and verse 1, speaking of a surrendered life. The surrendered life completely given over to God. A life of service and a life of self-sacrifice. And we pinned all our thoughts on that very first verse in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And we asked our Bible class the question, do we really know what it is to have a fully surrendered life? A life which is completely and absolutely consecrated to the service of the King. And so we left challenges with them week after week. You know, not only was it challenges for the Bible class, it was challenges for those who lead the Bible class. Is the Lord pleased with my life? Is the Lord happy with my testimony, with my walk? And I wonder, is my life really telling for him? We noted that the Saviour doesn't just want to be a part of our lives, but the Saviour wants to be our life. And so, a life of surrender, a life of sacrifice, a life of service was the first week in June. When we came to the second week, we spoke of the attribute of Christian kindness. I shared with our folks that for 38 years, just over 38 years, I've known the Lord as my own and personal Saviour. But in all that time, thousands of sermons I've sat through, hundreds of speakers I've listened to, only one speaker, our pastor, spoke on the subject here in Hebron in a midweek prayer meeting of Christian kindness. It's a quality, it's an attribute that's sadly missing so often in the visible church. Oh, we can be most unforgiving when
a brother or a sister appears to fall by the wayside. All too often, that unruly member known as the tongue is quick, far too quick, to assassinate the character and to corrupt the testimony of those of like precious faith who may have fallen. And we noted that that's not how it ought to be in the work of God. Rather, we should be coming alongside someone who has fallen by the wayside, bringing a word of counsel and encouragement. We considered the kindness of God, which David showed towards Mephibosheth. You will remember how when Saul had died and Jonathan had died, David inquired in relation to, is there any still alive of the household of Saul? You will remember how Mephibosheth, as a young child, was taken and he was dropped and his legs broke. They were never repaired, and he remained a cripple for the rest of his life. But it was in the heart of David to show kindness towards this young man. And we noted that the scriptures speak of David showing the kindness of God to Mephibosheth. Not the kindness of David. I wonder, does the Lord have a word for someone in the meeting this evening? Perhaps someone who should have shown far more tolerance in days gone by, should have shown far more kindness when somebody fell by the wayside, when someone just made a mistake in life. Again, we try to leave in the Bible class a word of counsel right at the end. And we mentioned to the folks on the second week that you and I are the fifth gospel. You see, the world may not bother to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but they'll read your life. And they'll read my life. I wonder, do they see Christ in me, the hope of glory? The third week we dealt with the subject of forgiveness. And we noted that we are the forgiven ones, born of the Spirit and washed in the blood. Our sins have been wiped out, but do we, as the forgiven ones, forgive? If somebody wrongs us in life, have we that God-given quality of forgiveness? Or is the welling within our heart and soul, the attitude, it will be payday someday? And we took our folks through the brutality of the cross, how the whole band of soldiers came before the Lord and they hit him with a reed and they spat upon his face. But the words of forgiveness were on his lips. How they mocked him and plaited a cruel crown of thorns and placed them on his princely brow. And his lips move again. And he says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. How they took the rude and the rusty nails and they buried them into the Saviour's hand. How he cried out for water and they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. How they took that spear and drove it into his side. And all the time he whispered, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness It's not natural. It's supernatural. True forgiveness is supernatural. Our God can forgive, and he can also forget to remember. We dealt with Absalom and how he fled from the presence of his father David after he had taken the life of Amnon. And then we recalled how the king was in his court one day, and a woman came to him, and she came with a burden upon her heart. She had two sons. She was a widow woman. She had two sons, and they were out in the field, and they began to strive the one with the other. The battle ensued, and one of them died as a result. And she came and she pleaded with the king that he would forgive her son and show mercy. Do you know, David's heart was touched that day, and he granted her that wish. And as she left and got to the door, she stopped and she said to the king, "May I speak but one more time?" And she was given permission, and the Bible says that she said to King David, "Why is it that you can forgive my son who you've never seen, but you failed to forgive your own son who you know and love?" And that too struck a heart, struck a chord in the heart of King David. The final week, we dealt with the prayer meeting and how important it is for God's people to gather in the place of prayer. We turned the Bible class to that portion in the Acts of the Apostles when the disciples and a company of believers gathered in Mary's home, the mother of John Mark. You will remember that Peter was incarcerated in prison, and how the angel came and smote Peter on the side, and he awoke and he got up and he began to follow the angel. They came to the great iron gate which opened before them, and in next to no time they were out into the city. He was a free man. And we are told in the scriptures that he went to the home of Mary. The Bible says that prayer was being made of the church unto God for him. You'll remember how a young girl, a servant girl called Rhoda, she happened to be in the home. She happened to be in the prayer meeting that day. She happened to be listening to God's people as they pleaded for the release of Peter. And she was the very one that attended to the knock. When she heard his voice, the Bible says she opened not the door for gladness, but she ran and she told the rest of the praying believers that the Lord has answered prayer. And we emphasized to the members of our Bible class that amongst the big names, amongst the big personalities that evening in the prayer meeting in the home of Mary, the Lord gave this wee girl the opportunity to bring the good news that God had answered prayer. We suggested to the members of our Bible class that one day the Lord's going to turn up in our prayer meeting. The Lord's going to make himself known. The Lord's going to do something extra special. I wonder, will you be there to see it? There were only 4 days or 4 Lord's days in the month of June. But had there have been a fifth, we would have been dealing with The 58th verse that we read here together in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For Paul, when writing to the church at Corinth, in spite of all the problems that the church appeared to have, in spite of its divisions and schisms, in spite of its immorality at times, in spite of believers taking other believers to court and that before the unjust, in spite of all those problems, Paul refers to the folks in this church as his brethren. He says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, they were more than just brethren. They were brethren who Paul really knew and who Paul really loved. He says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the more I looked at this text, I thought Paul is here saying to the church at Corinth, don't be afraid of the challenge of being steadfast in the work of God. There is much to hinder us in this life as we seek to serve the Lord. There will be temptations and trials that we are called to bear from day to day. There will be burdens, and sometimes there will be a great crisis which will erupt in your life and in mine. And of course, on a daily basis, we are engaged in open warfare with our adversary, the devil himself. You see, the Christian life can be difficult in many ways. We face many, many challenges, but in the midst of it all, Paul provides counsel, and he says to the brethren in Corinth, be steadfast. No matter what this old world throws at you, be steadfast. Be fixed in the faith of the gospel. Be firm in your understanding of the scriptures. Be not wavering, dear Christian. Don't be blown about with every wind of doctrine, but remain firm in the faith. Remain resolute and determined and devoted and dedicated to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Paul speaks here of an unshakable conviction that we are to be steadfast even when difficult days come, and they will, and when troublesome times encompass us, and they will. Paul says, don't be afraid of the challenge. Be ye steadfast. But then he says something else. He says, not only don't be afraid of the challenge, but don't be given to change. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Whatever comes your way, whatever the problem might be, whatever the distress, or even times, alas, of dark providence, Paul says, I don't want you to wander as believers. I don't want you to waver or to drift or to deter from the truth. For you have an unshakable conviction. You're to be steadfast. You are to have an unmovable spirit. Or when we are sailing through life in our small bark, and the sea seems so calm, and the winds are so low and the weather seems so nice. You know, it's relatively easy to serve the Lord in those days. But when our small bark begins to get tossed on the turbulent seas of time, when the storm comes our way and when the waves begin to rage, when the winds of adversity are blown against our small vessel, so often we become so fearful, so distressed, and so afraid. Paul says, don't be given to doubt. Don't be given to change. In those days, it's time to prove the Lord. When the going gets tough, remember we have his promise. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Paul says, remain steadfast. Remain unmovable. And always abound in the service of the Lord. Paul says, don't be afraid of the challenge. Don't be given to change. He says, don't give up on the cause. We are to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. I love those words, always abounding. They speak to me of words of victory. They speak to me of going the extra mile for God. They speak to me of words of endurance, and often going beyond the call of duty in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving our very best to the Christ of God. Living our life in the first best for him. As we gather in our prayer meeting and as we consider some of these wonderful truths that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, I wonder, can we conclude, am I an always abounding Christian? You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, he began to teach them from whence the Lord had brought them, from a dark place, from a desperate place, from a place of decay to a place of deliverance. And then he brings them to that verse, but we are his workmanship, created in him unto good works. And so as we consider the counsel of God that we have before us this evening, how are we faring in the service of the Lord? These last few months have been trying times for us all. They have indeed been difficult days for one and all. But you know, it's been a time when we could get alone with God. When we can prioritize as to what really is important in life. Now we stand on the threshold of a new beginning. A new start as far as the work of God is concerned here in Hebron after lockdown. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if this life text, as our pastor commonly refers to this verse 58, if this life text became buried in our hearts and souls and became the template for the rest of our lives. That as we seek to serve the Lord, we will be steadfast, we will be unmovable, we will be always abounding in his work. For as much as we know that our labours, they'll not be in vain in the Lord. And in spite of all the problems that the church may have had way back there in the days of Corinth, and all the carnality that was about, Paul encouraged his brethren that they can live a victorious life if they seek to serve him with not less than their all. He knew that God had a purpose for his people. He knew that they were a work in progress, and so are we as we gather before him this evening. So let's rededicate our lives to him, and let's have this as the motto for the rest of our lives, that we will be steadfast, we will be unmovable, and we will always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Pastor.
Thank you, Phil. I was just reading that chapter yesterday, and the verse, of course, always sounds out to me.
It's a great, great text. May the Lord bury it in our heart. May that message be a blessing to us all. Now we come to our little season of prayer, and that's what it is, just a short time these nights on a Thursday night. We have our extended group listening in, and they will not hear what is happening now as far as public prayer is concerned, but they will follow the slides that will be shown, and therefore we need to keep our prayers brief. We have suggested that each thing that we pray for tonight, just a few things, just maybe 15 seconds or so. Seems a short time, but let's remember, first of all, the frontline services, and especially those that belong to the church here that we know and love in the Lord. We bow together in prayer, and we'll ask somebody now to lead us on behalf of those that are in the health service. Lord, from day to day with gladness, may we uplift the precious and the lovely name of the Saviour. May Christ be seen in us. We pray that you'll bless this people, every home that is represented here tonight, and bless the witness of this congregation in the community. We pray that as our services have got back with people in the church again, that you will gather the people out. We thank thee for those who came last Lord's Day, and we pray that you'll continue to bring men and women in under the sound of the word for Jesus' sake. Amen. If everything had have gone well and the virus hadn't have come, our young people should have been away these days in Uganda serving the Lord at Emmanuel Christian School. So I'm going to begin with the school. There's another round of food aid that has gone to the needy people of that district in the two little villages beside the school. And this was the delivery of the food that was ordered and then stacked into the church building, the assembly hall, and that's just ready now to get into bags so that the people can benefit. Just this week, these were some of the little orphan children in India that are being fed. So it's good to be able to show these children to you. These are the ones that are being helped and supported in the land of India. We had the opportunity again to speak to Freya Sunday School class in Pakistan last Lord's Day. This was her class, and they all received a little gift. It wasn't very much, but they all received a little gift, and they went home really, really happy. Christmas had come in the month of July for them. What you see here, not too sure, it's not going to be very clear, really, is an unfinished room. Freya has a little group that meets for church, but they were thrown out a number of months ago from the place where they met by Muslim people, out onto the street, so they had nowhere to meet except on the housetop, a flat roof, and that's where she took the children for Sunday school, and that's where the church met on the Lord's Day. So we're hoping to be able to rent this place. Is not finished, so the owner is looking for 3 months' rental up front, and he's going to use that to finish it off. And what they will have, two little rooms, so that they can have the sewing ministry among the women. They'll have use of this building every day, and on the Lord's Day, and for the Sunday school, and for the wee church that meets. So you pray that this will all come together and be a blessing. Deep continues to bring the gospel to the tribal areas. She, of course, came from a Hindu background. This is where her burden lies. And so she travels far every Lord's Day to bring the gospel to these people, and also, when it's possible, to share the food with them. The Container Project, that's the toilet and shower block that we've been running now for 2 years, and it had to be postponed for a number of reasons, and not least COVID-19. But we've been in touch with the company that's doing it over in Romania, and it's just a matter now, tomorrow or at the beginning of the week, signing the contract, sending the money out, and we're told that in 30 days this will be delivered. And we hope to get the contents of this, as you know, sent out in the very near future as well. There's work to be done, and those that can help, let us know. I'm sure many of you follow the ministry of Paul and Marina. That's the Briggs family, serving the Lord, and they had exciting news about the commentary on Ephesians, and maybe you get their emails. I got this today. So this is from Paul and Marina. We have just received 100 copies of a new 250-page commentary on the book of Ephesians in the Loran language. It has taken years of work to get this to get to this point, and we are thrilled that the Loran Bible teachers now have another resource to help them as they teach biblical truth to the Loran people. We are trusting that the Lord will use this effort to help the Loran believers grow and mature in their walk with Him. The book is entitled The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, taken from Ephesians 3 and 18, where Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." We are hoping to be able to make a trip to Ivory Coast in a couple of months to deliver these books, along with lots of other Bible and literacy materials that have been developing. Thank you for your prayers for this project. We are now working on a commentary for the book of Galatians, and that's the copy. You can just see it. You'll not be able to read it. So pray for Ivory Coast and Burkina Faso. There have been continuous attacks by Islamic extremists in Burkina Faso and Mali. With many people losing their lives in Ivory Coast, the government has taken strong measures against the terrorist network in the north of the country, but the threat remains. Please pray for wisdom for those in authority in the Sahel region as they struggle to contend with the growing menace to their countries. And that was included in their email, that picture of the protection that is being given out in these rural areas. We finish with a text from Psalm 22, verse 27-28. I had a Zoom call today with Mission Board officers with the Reverend Ravi Pasupaleti. Some of you may remember him. He visited here years ago. He is an Indian man, and he has a work in Vizag in India. That's where our brother Calvin Stripp had labored for 3 years. And we had a call with him just to encourage him in the Lord and to see how we're going to progress the work in India. But these were read by the Reverend Harris. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Father, we believe this with all of our hearts, and we thank thee that there is coming a day, and though we cannot see it on the horizon just now because of the wickedness in the world, yet we know all the ends of the world shall turn to thee, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. And Lord, we thank thee that our God, our blessed Saviour, is the governor among the nations, even now, and he is fulfilling his purposes. And we pray that you will help us to see this realized even in our day, to do what we can to see the work of the Great Commission and missionary service extend and abound throughout the earth. Separate us now with your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, and let 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 live on for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen. Thank you very much for coming. You'll be led out row by row in a safe and orderly fashion.